My Life in Christ, Book 2, starting from page 293. All things are possible to him that believeth, because he who believes is one spirit with the Lord. If everything is possible to the believer who lives on earth, though he is not quite perfect, then still more it is so to him that dwells in heaven in close union with God, and who is most perfect. To the saints, God is everything, so that the saints are truly God's. I, God himself, whose word is truth, have said, ye are God's. Watch every moment of your heart. Consider whether it is pleasing to the Holy Trinity or if it is not. On the contrary, the will of your old passionate man, the work of the Lord's hands, the visible and invisible word, testifies to the existence of the Lord, of his wisdom, mercy, omnipotence. This is why we often hear sung in church the words, O ye works of the Lord, bless ye the Lord. How then can some deny the Lord, not seeing him in his works? Believe and always steadfastly remember that in whatever place you appear with the Lord's cross, either at the Thanksgiving service or upon any other occasion, it always sanctifies the air and all who touch it. Believe also that during the time of all prayers, Thanksgiving, church services, and above all during the liturgy, the Lord most speedily bestows his blessings in accordance with your prayer or that of other priests upon all those who pray sincerely, and pardons them by his divine royal mercy. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good things unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? St. Matthew, 7th chapter, 11th verse. The priests praying on earth for men are the sign and testimony of the heavenly church praying for us in heaven, and of the mediator Christ God himself. The saints are kinder than we think, and more speedily than we think they come to our help in accordance with our prayer. Unwillingly, faint-heartedly, with murmurings and blasphemy against the Lord, we bear the cruel affliction of our heart, not seeing the profit which should be derived from patiently and submissively bearing them. We do not wish to see that our heart has waxed gross and has become infected by various passions, that is, it is proud, adulterous, malicious, and cunning, and cleaves to earthly things, and that it cannot be cleansed and made humble and become good and submissive to God otherwise than by cruel, fiery afflictions and great oppressions. Strengthen me, my God. Fortify me, my God. Help me, my God. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord, O Lord, I beseech thee. Send now prosperity. You care for the opinion of men, for human glory. Set yourself actively to heal this infirmity of your heart. Think and be anxious only for the glory of God. Consider human dishonor as nothing, when you ought to honor a poor or uneducated and rough father or mother or relation or friend or acquaintance before distinguished and educated men of this world, or to defend any truth in an assembly that scoffs at it, Then have in view God alone and His commandments, also your parents, or the relations, friends, or acquaintances, and God's truth, and be steadfast in your respect for them, without cowardice and shame, without being in the least shamed by those present or by your questioners. Concerning trust in God's providence, can a woman, a mother, forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I forget thee, Isaiah, says the Lord. And who could be more tender and careful than the mother of her children? That woman will forget to feed, what woman will forget to feed the children of her womb? But let us even admit that mothers who forsake their children may be found, but I, says the Lord, am not like such carnal mothers, and will not forget nor forsake you. What trust, what hope, the Lord Himself inspires in us by these words, in His providence, continually caring for us and never forsaking any one of us. You are sometimes anxious about what you shall eat and drink, and how ye shall be clothed. You greatly afflict your heart. If you part grudgingly, sorrowfully with your money when it is necessary to give to another, although you have plenty left, and you thus show that you put your trust and hope in earthly dross. But why are you anxious? Why do you cling to dross? Cling to the Heavenly Father. He will not forget you and will not forsake you. Let the dross forsake you. You will only feel easier without it, for the more money you have, the greater the quality of the dross that adheres to your heart, the more will your heart wish it not earthly be afflicted. There is a saying amongst men that money is no hindrance, however much of it we, if we have it, however much of it we may have. This is untrue. It greatly hinders our souls from rising upwards and from meditating upon our heavenly country. And the more we have of it, the more it drags our soul down to earth, inciting us to occupy ourselves with the various earthly devices, such as buildings, rich furniture in our houses, rich clothes, luxurious viands and drinks, and thus depriving our soul of holy zeal and precious time, during which it ought to be earning future bliss for itself. The human soul dwells in its body as in the world, small world, as in older time, for the iniquity spread over the earth, the Lord from the midst of the world itself sent punishment upon men, and the waters which previously stood in their appointed places came out of them and flooded the whole earth. So likewise, for the punishment of each individual man for his sins, he sends punishment from within the man himself, commanding the streams of blood or water, hemorrhage, dropsy, to rush out from their appointed places and to flood the little world of the human body. The Master's punishment is ready for us at every moment. Our own body and soul conceal in themselves a multitude of chastisements for those who transgress the commandments of God, the Creator and Judge of all. Thus, God punishes us for our sins through ourselves. To chastisements of this kind, affliction and sicknesses also belong, wherewithal a man sinneth, by the same also shall he be punished. Wisdom 11, chapter 16, verse. When you pray to the Lord, look with your spiritual eye unto yourself and to your soul. The Lord is there in your thoughts and in the right movement of your heart, as he is also outside you in every place. The word, the Lord, is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Romans 10:8. That is, not in heaven only, nor in the deep. Idle talk or amusement with trifles in the society of guests deprives the heart of faith, as the fear of God and of love for God. Guests are a scourge for a pious heart. Of course, it is understood that I refer to guests who only occupy themselves with trifles. Serious, religiously minded guests are very different. Satiety drives away faith and the fear of God from the heart, and satiated man does not feel the presence of God in his heart. Heartfelt, fervent prayer is far from him. You have built yourself a house or renovated your rooms, while with the view of living more comfortably and spaciously, clearer, lighter, and more cheerfully, you have become rich, or at any rate well-to-do. All the surroundings of your life are beautiful and fill your soul with joy. It would seem that it only remains for you to live in peace and rejoice. But no, as soon as you begin to enjoy the fruits of your earthly cares, a hitherto unforeseen source of sorrow reveals itself in your soul, and this sorrow strikes you powerfully, suddenly depriving you of your peace of heart and of the comfort you so long for. You cease to be interested in anything. Nothing seems to exist for you. You feel overburdened by grievous sorrow and deadly anguish. What does this mean? What malicious, envious power falls upon us as soon as we begin to live for our own gratification? Why does our soul begin to grieve and to be affected at the very time when, in our opinion, it should rejoice? Listen to me, disciple of Christ. You taught to live upon earth in peace and pleasure, when the earthly path must be a most sorrowful and narrow one. You taught to find tranquility and pleasure in corruptible things and not in Christ, who alone is the rest and eternal blessedness of our souls. And the Lord, not wishing that we should live here in peace and plenty, and thus forget the one thing needful, the salvation of our soul in our heavenly country, but desiring that we should seek our rest and blessedness in him alone, allows the devil, God's enemy and yours, to tempt you, to strike your soul with sorrow and affliction at the time when all your surroundings invite you to joy, comfort, and rest. You thus learn by experience that every earthly enjoyment means vanity and vexation of spirit, and that without God, in spite of all comforts tending to an outwardly happy life, we are but poor, miserable creatures. That to have Christ in our heart is to possess a rich, beautiful, bright dwelling place, every adornment, peace, and comfort, and thus bear your sorrow patiently and steadfastly learn with your whole heart the lesson which the Lord teaches you through your affliction. Do not grow faint-hearted, and do not despair in God's mercy. A little affliction, and then joy shall shine again. For the Lord is most merciful, and remembers that we are dust, that the days of man are as grass, that he only flourishes like the flower of the field, which when the wind goes over it, it is gone. And the Lord will not suffer us to be tempted above that we are able, but with temptation will give us abundance of power, so that we may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 13, verse. Believe heartily that everything that is touched by the life-giving Spirit of God, who with the Father and Son together is worshipped and glorified, can be quickened and spiritualized. For instance, He can spiritualize earth, wheat, bread, wood, and stone. Thus He creates from the bread and wine the most pure body and the most pure blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, ever existing with the Father and the Holy Spirit. As the Spirit is single, not complex or perfect, He, like thought, enters into a man or into anything He pleases in an instant, and even more rapidly, and there is no thing or atom too small for Him. For Him, both the infinitely great and the infinitely small is creation, are in creation, are equally now. During the life of the Christians, there are hours of inconsolable sorrow and sickness, when it seems that the Lord has completely abandoned and forsaken him, for there is not at least a feeling of God's presence in the soul. Such hours are the hours of temptation of the faith, hope, love, and patience of the Christian. But better times shall soon come for him, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Acts 3:20 verse. Soon the Lord will again rejoice him, so let him not fall into temptation. And the great festivals, our envious enemy, the devil, offends, afflicts, and casts us into extreme despondency, either by means of some bodily sickness, vexation, and oppression of the spirit, or by means of a spiritual fiery sorrow, fiery arrows, or by striking us with extreme insensibility and coldness. It will soon become clear to you that the enemy was using his crafts against you, and that the cause of your affliction and sickness was not a natural, gloomy state of mind. The more the outward prosperity of a pious man increases, the more furiously Satan rages against him and fights against them by temptation vials, as he did against Job. Therefore, you who love God, when the prosperity of your house increases, you must accept to meet with violent attacks from Satan. He will fall upon one or another member of your family and torment him. During prayer, do not allow the flesh and the enemy acting through it to conquer you. Speak the truth from your heart and use no deceit in your tongue. Think and feel what you say in prayer, and do not let there be honey on your tongue and ice in your heart. Once you are conquered by the enemy, you will have to defend yourself and your freedom against him as a piece of ground already conquered by the enemy, and your heart will withdraw itself from the Lord. Do not neglect anything in the spiritual life. Do not consider anything unimportant, unworthy of great attention. It is through little sins that the devils lead us to great ones. Above all, endeavor to be always truthful in your heart. When it is the most difficult to fight against the flesh, then is the time to show your firmness. Then is the time not to grow weak in the conflict, but to fight like a good soldier of Christ. When you feel in your heart that the Lord makes us, though he would go further from your heart, from your thoughts, Then consider him the merciful one, saying sincerely, abide with me, for it is towards evening, and the day of my spiritual life is far spent, and he shall come in to tarry with thee. St. Luke, for he is merciful, and lets himself be constrained. Do not sit down to a table with a spirit disturbed by any passion, lest the enemy turn your food and drink to your harm, and not to your health. For he uses this craft through everything, and even seeks to injure man. Always sit down to table in peace, thanking the Lord, and the food and drink will be for your good and health, because the blessing of God will rest both on the food and on you yourself. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. St. Matthew 16, chapter 25th verse. That is, whosoever wishes to save his old, carnal, sinful man shall lose his life. For the true life consists in crucifying and mortifying the old man, together with his deeds, and putting on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Galatians 3, chapter 10, 9 and 10 verses. Without the mortification of the old carnal man, there is no true life or eternal blessedness. The more complete and more poignant the mortification of the old man is, the more perfect will his renovation and regeneration be. The higher his cleansing, the more perfect his life, and the greater his bliss in the future world. Mortify yourself, and you shall obtain new life. I myself feel that when I am in perfect health and do not keep under my body my labors, I die in spirit. The kingdom of God is no longer in me, and my flesh and the devil overpower me. Do not ascribe weakness to the omnipotent power of the Lord's cross, and still less to the holy, life-giving mysteries of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, because of the weakness of your own heart in faith. They are ever the same life-giving power, for they are Christ himself, the eternal power that creates everything, that keeps everything, and vivifies everything. The cross is likewise always omnipotent by the power of him who was crucified upon it, is always life-giving for the sake of the life that hung upon it. Let all carnal sweetness be as bitterness to you, carnal loss as gain, that which is precious as cheap, that which is wholesome and nourishing as unwholesome and not nourishing, because it can easily be unwholesome and harmful to your soul. Let your only sweetness be Christ, your one hope, he that created all things from nothing. Oh, that we might all land happily on the shores of the heavenly country. They straightway left their nets and followed him. St. Matthew, 4th chapter, 20th verse. The apostles did not grudge leaving their nets for the Lord's sake, although they were perhaps their only property and precious to them because they lived by them. And we likewise, for the Lord's sake, ought to leave everything that hinders our following him. That is, all the many and various nets in which the enemy entangles us in this life. But it is but a little only to leave those nets. We must follow Christ as the apostles left all and followed him. And he who wishes to follow Christ and to come there where he went must deny himself and take up his cross. St. Matthew 16th chapter 24th verse, and St. Mark and St. Luke, like Christ and the apostles, and follow after him. Christ, our God, in accordance with his commandments, not sparing himself in great deed for the glory of God and the salvation of his soul, applying this gospel story about leaving the nets to ourselves, we involuntarily represent to ourselves everything earthly, beginning with our body and ending with the last thing that occupies as a net that can easily be torn. It is impossible not to wonder at the simple-heartedness and indifference of earthly blessings of the Galilean fishermen, and at their absolute obedience to the voice of the Lord. A few words of the Savior were enough. They left their nets, their soul wealth, their greatest treasure, and followed him, without reasoning why and wherefore they went. What simply city of heart, what detachment from earthly blessings, what childlike obedience. How easy is the access of the word of the divine Messiah to simple hearts. It is spoken and done. There are many such simple people living in labor and low estate, but there are no such men among the rich. What do we see in one of them when the Lord told him to sell his possessions and follow him? He followed not the Lord, but his riches. He went away, it is said, sorrowful. St. Matthew 19th chapter 22nd verse. It is well to place candles before icons, but it is still better for you if you bring as a sacrifice to God the fire of your love for him and your neighbor. It is well that one should be accompanied by the other. But if you place candles before the icons and have no love for God and your neighbor in your heart, if you are voracious, if you do not live in peace with others, then your sacrifice to God is in vain. Do not be disturbed at the malice of others, but always triumph over it by the elevation of your heart, your spirit. Let it bend and fall down before you in the dust, and not you before it. Any evil is in itself a foe, whilst virtue, though it may be marked and always stands upon an eminence, provided it does not fall itself through being conquered by evil. When there is any unpleasant and unearthly odor in the air, we endeavor to get away from this unhealthy part, or to somehow destroy the unhealthy element which have entered into the pure air. Similarly, when you feel in your heart anything disturbing or oppressing it, endeavor to immediately drive away the injurious element disturbing your soul, the passions, for instance, knowing that it comes from the abyss of hell. There is a great analogy between the bodily and spiritual lives, and the wise Christian possesses all cultivated and refined spiritual feelings as the carnal man bodily ones. Besides, it is absurd to cultivate bodily feelings in every way and to leave spiritual ones neglected. The spiritual feelings or organs are consecrated in the heart. It is necessary to refine and cleanse it by every means in order that it should turn away from the least evil odor of sin and passions, and instantly banish them from itself. Do not be afraid of human talk and mockery about yourself. This is diabolical fear. think of what the Lord God says of you, what the angels and the saints say of you, and your relations and intercourse with men. Keep in your heart the word love, and being attentive to it, converse with all with hearty love and good will. Never let this precious word out of your heart in your intercourse with men. It powerfully assists the strengthening of your heart and love. Of course, it is necessary to bear this word in your heart, not separately, not by itself, but together with a hearty faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You sinners who have fallen into the depths of evil, when you present to yourself the multitude of your sins and fall into despair and hardness of heart, remember that the Heavenly Father sent His only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, into the world for your salvation from sins and from eternal condemnation for them. Turn then with faith to this mediator before God for men, imploring Him from the depth of your soul to wash away by His own cleansing blood shed for us on the cross your iniquities too. Turn zealously to repentance, confessing your sins before His priest as before Himself, that you may be justified, after which in the minister of the sacrament of penitent friends you prepared and fit. Draw nigh to the holy cup, and you shall be cleansed of your sins. Peace shall flow into your soul like a river, and you shall be the Son of the Heavenly Father, who was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. St. Luke 15, chapter 24 to 32nd verses. Do not be irritated with him who bears malice against you and often wounds you by finding fault with you, but be compassionate to him. Love him, saying, "It is not he or she that is so full of malice against me, but it is the devil who rages against me through them, and they themselves, poor creatures, are only tempted by him. As soon as this temptation ceases, they will be kind again. We are all often worthy of pity as the tools of the bodily enemy. We must pity mankind so violently persecuted by the enemy. There is sometimes such hardness, unfeelingness in the soul that you dare not perceive and do not feel your sins. You do not fear death or the judge or the terrible judgment seat. You do not care a jot, as the saying is, about anything spiritual. O cunning, proud, evil flesh, it is not without reason that even the saints complain, "I am overcome by the slumber of sloth, and the sleep of sin oppresses my heart. Avail thyself, my soul, of the time for repentance. Shake off the heavy sleep of sloth, and hasten to watch. Sometimes your soul is filled with such a terrible slothfulness and hardened unfeelingness that you completely despair of being able to drive away the slothfulness and unfeelingness. It seems as if bodily sickness would be preferable to such spiritual slothfulness. Thy will be done. For instance, when you wish and by every means endeavor to be well and healthy, and yet remain ill, then say, 'Thy will be done.' When you undertake something and your undertaking does not succeed, say, 'Thy will be done.' When you do good to others and they repay you by evil, say, 'Thy will be done.' Or when you would like to sleep and are overtaken by sleeplessness, say, 'Thy will be done.' In general, do not become irritated when anything is not done in accordance with your will, but learn to submit everything to the will of the Heavenly Father. You would like not to experience any temptations, and yet the enemy daily harasses you by them, provokes and annoys you by every means. Do not become irritated and angered, but say, Thy will be done. Everything, the merest trifles, even the smoke of a candle blowing on him, irritates and angers the impatient man, because he is very self-loving and cares much for the welfare and comfort of his carnal man, which he ought oftener to crucify in different ways. When the soul is sullied by sins and passions, seeing this, he does not see. Knowing it, he does not know. Feeling it, he as though does not feel. But as soon as the face of some man is sullied by smoke, however little, he at once notices it and begins to pity himself. So there is nothing for him to trouble about, for the smoke does not strike, does not sting, does not vex, but only blows in the face like a light breeze. If you wish to live long on earth, do not hurry to live in a carnal matter, to satiate yourself, to get drunk, to smoke, to commit fornication, to live in luxury, to indulge yourself. The carnal way of life constitutes death, and therefore, in the Holy Scriptures, our flesh is called mortal, or the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. If you wish to live long, live through the Spirit, for life consists in the Spirit. If ye, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Romans 8:13. Both here on earth and there in heaven. Observe temperance and simplicity in food and drink. Preserve chastity. Do not foolishly squander the balsam of your life. Do not seek after riches, after luxury. Strive to be contented with little. Keep peace with all, and do not enjoy anyone, and do not envy anyone. Respect and love all, and above all, strive ever to bear Christ in your heart, and you shall live in peace and felicity for many years. My brothers and sisters who are zealous after piety, it may happen to you to hear, perhaps not seldom and mostly from the members of your household, that you are a disagreeable, intolerable person. You will meet with serious dislike, enmity, no account of your piety, although those who are inimical to you would not acknowledge that their enmity is directed against you on account of your piety. Do not be disturbed at this. Do not fall into despair, because the devil can in reality exaggerate to an enormous extent some of your infirmities, from which you, being human, are not exempt. But remember the words of the Savior, a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Correct yourself of your faults and hold fast to piety. Submit your conscience. Commit your conscience, your life, and deeds unto God, who knows our hearts. However, look upon yourself impartially. Are you not indeed difficult in your character, especially to those of your household? Perhaps you are a more rose, unkind, unsociable, taciturn. Expand your heart for sociability and kindness, though not to overindulgence and connivance Be gentle, not provoking, calm in reproof. Let all your things be done with charity, said the apostle. Be patient. Do not find fault for everything. Bear some things, passing them by in silence, and appear not to see them. Charity bears all things, endures all things. Sometimes, through the impatient reproof, enmity arises because the reproof was not made in the prison in the spirit of meekness and love, but in the spirit of self-loving pretension to the submission of others. Sometimes younger people or those of equal stations or older ones teach you by means of hints which you cannot endure, and you are vexed with your teachers. We must endure and listen with love to everything useful coming from anyone, whoever he may be. Our self-love conceals our faults from us, but they are more visible to others. Thus, and this is why they remark them to us. Remember that we are members one of another, and are thus even obliged to mutually correct each other. If you do not hear being instructed by others and are vexed with those who teach you, it means that you are proud. And this shows that the fruit of which others hint that you should correct yourself is really in you.